I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a conversation about values and politics. President Obama is scheduled to deliver the commencement address and receive an honorary degree at Notre Dame later this month, but a vocal group of conservative Catholics are objecting because of Obama's pro-choice stance on abortion. We'll hear strong views on both sides of the issue later in the program. But first, we have more on President Obama's first 100 days in office in our political chat, and our guest is one of the people recently named by Time magazine, along with Barack Obama, as one of the world's most influential people. A name and a voice well known on these airwaves, Tavis Smiley. He's the host of the Tavis Smiley Show on PBS, a program he launched while he also hosted a daily program on NPR. I still don't know quite how you manage that. He's the author of a number of bestsellers on politics and policy. His latest book is Accountable, Making America as Good as It's Promised. And Tavis Smiley is here, back home, I should say, in his studio in Washington, D.C. Welcome back.
I'm delighted to be back and delighted to be on with you. And let me just start by congratulating you on all the success. I was just reading a story the other day about the stations that are picking you up all across the country. So people are blessed to hear you, and I'm honored to be in the studio.
Well, thank you for making the room. Thank you for paving the way.
Pleasure.
I appreciate it. Before we dig into some of the president's policies, I want to play a short clip from the president's primetime press conference on Wednesday night. He was talking about giving his own assessment, and here it is.
I think we're off to a good start, but it's just a start. I'm proud of what we've achieved, but I'm not content. I'm pleased with our progress, but I'm not satisfied. Millions of Americans are still without jobs and homes, and more will be lost before this recession is over.
So that's his assessment. What's yours?
I think he's right about that. First of all, he's off to a great start. When I say a great start, there is no president, certainly in my lifetime, and historically it's getting hard to find anybody else, who has had to deal with the challenges he's had to deal with over these first 100 days. And now comes word that David Souter is retiring and Supreme Court justice vacancy. I mean, this is a lot to deal with. He made the joke, of course, you recall in that press conference the other night about how he would love to have had just three or four things, but eight or nine is pretty huge. So his plate is not just full, it's overflowing. So there is a certain sensitivity I have to all that he has to do. But what this book is about, Accountable, is about reminding the American public of the promises that he made. I believe that promises made ought to be promises kept. And I believe that the way to become a great president is for us to understand that there is honor in accountability. Put simply, I want Barack Obama to be a great president, Michelle. I believe he can be a great president, but only if we help make him a great president. Great presidents aren't born, they're made, and they have to be pushed into their greatness. So he's off to a great start. But finally, there are 242 promises he made on these major issues that matter to most Americans that we chronicle in the book Accountable. If he keeps up at the pace he's on now, Michelle, he will accomplish about 66% of what he said he was going to do in the first term. Now, that ain't bad. 66%. It ain't exactly Dean's list. He signed 7 major bills into law in his first 100 days, 7 more than George Bush did in his first 100 days. So it's not about casting aspersion on him. It's about understanding that if we want him to be great, we got to push him.
Has he made any significant missteps in your view so far?
We could debate the word significant because that is subjective. I am bothered by the fact that where health care is concerned, he seems to be backing away from the single payer issue. I think some of the issues about transparency and the kinds of people he would put around him, I've got some questions about how some of the folk around him got to be around him, namely the persons connected to Wall Street, got, you know, in some regard, chickens guarding the coop. You got some of these people who were involved, Larry Summers and others who were involved in deregulation during the Clinton years who are now around the president. So I've got some concerns. But again, I think it's his prerogative to pick who he wants to pick. I'm prepared to give him, you know, some time to see how this all works out. So, yeah, there are things to be concerned about. But again, that's where not relying on, respectfully, NPR, although they're breaking news like Souter. You don't need NPR. You don't need ABC, NBC, CBS to tell you how your president is doing. If you have a book that tells you what he said and you can follow along, I think that's how democracy is made better, by an active citizenry and informed citizenry.
Well, part of the subtext of what we're talking about here is something you know better than anybody, is that during the campaign you caught a lot of flack, mainly but not exclusively from black folks. When
did I?
Yeah, you remember that? You said you needed to,
where
people needed to look at candidate Obama with a more critical eye, and some of the feedback, as you recall, was along the lines of who died and made you king.
Mm-hmm.
But that does speak to what standard are you using to assess accountability? Back then, people were annoyed because they felt that this was personal because he didn't turn up at an event that you were hosting.
Mm-hmm.
But it does raise this question of the book doesn't address any foreign policy issues. It mm-hmm. doesn't address the fact that the U.S. is fighting two wars in Iraq and mm-hmm. Afghanistan, and that there's this record deficit, which has tremendous implications for both the budget and for the future. For, puts pressure on interest rates into future generations. Why don't you address issues
You're
like that?
Right about the first point, I would argue the second point. There's an entire chapter about economics. And when this book was written, based upon what he said on the campaign trail, we didn't know that the economy was going to be in the shape that it was in by the time we went to deadline for the book. But there is an entire chapter on economics and what he said he was going to do. I might add that much of what he said he was going to do around the economy, he has already done in my personal copy of
but
the
But aren't
book,
all these yeah. issues related? I mean, the fact that, can you ignore the fact that the U.S. is still engaged in these very
no,
significant international issues?
You can't, but the book was never about foreign policy. It was only about domestic issues. This book, as you know, is the third and final book in a trilogy, starting with The Covenant, that dealt specifically with domestic issues. So, yeah, I'm not going to debate you on that. The book was never about a foreign policy agenda. It was specifically about the top 10 domestic issues that matter to most Americans. That's the subject matter in the text.
But isn't a deficit reduction strategy part of addressing the budget?
Absolutely. I don't argue that at all. But the fact that the book does not address public policy regarding Iraq and Afghanistan, because the book, again, only deals with domestic issues. But if your question is, are these things interconnected, there's absolutely no debate about that at all. That's one of the reasons why I think a lot of people wanted to get him into office so that he would honor his commitment to get out of Iraq. I don't like the fact that we've added 17,000 more troops to Afghanistan, so you're not really saving money on the military. I've not seen President Obama put up a budget that asks for significant cuts in the defense budget. So that there are some concerns here.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with commentator, radio, television host Tavis Smiley. He's recently been named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world, and we're talking about President Obama's first 100 days. Things obviously change from the campaign trail to the time a candidate gets sworn into office, as you mentioned. Take the fact that this whole health issue around mm-hmm. the swine flu is now engaging the attention of governments across the world. How would you think Americans should think about the issues of accountability, given the fact that the circumstances change? And as you know, and President Bush made education mm-hmm. a top priority, and then 9/11 happened 9 months into his term, and his whole focus, the whole focus of his administration changed. So how do you encourage Americans to think about the fact that things change?
It's a document for us to use as a guidebook. I think every American understands that just as things change in our lives every day, conditions and circumstances change in the country. That, however, the two points are not mutually exclusive. We can give the president some leeway and some latitude with regard to the issues, Michelle, that come up every single day. But at the same time, there are other issues that have not changed. The fact that there is an education achievement gap in this country, that was the case during the campaign. It is the case now. The fact that environmental racism existed during the campaign, that issue exists now. The fact that black folk are still too highly unemployed, that was the fact then. It is more the fact now. So there are a base set of issues that have not changed, even though things do change every day. There's some things that are still the case. And so on those promises that he did make, President Obama, on page 206 in the book Accountable, promised, we cite the source, the date when he said it, he promised not just to raise the minimum wage, but to raise it annually. That's a serious commitment, to raise the minimum wage annually. We haven't heard any talk about that as yet. We've heard talk for bailing out Wall Street and bailing out the auto industry with Chrysler, et cetera, but no talk about raising that particular issue of the minimum wage. So again, I'm not trying to cast aspersion on him. I'm just saying if we want him to become a great president, if we want to turn this country around, he and all elected officials, his face is on the cover of the book, as you know, but it's made up of the hundreds of other faces of elected officials. So it's about holding all of our leaders accountable if we want to move America forward.
In this book, you say, this is one of the things that intrigued me. You say that unlike the two previous books, you mentioned The Covenants, which were focused on mm-hmm. African Americans, you say you are now addressing readers including and beyond the African American community. Why?
Because we got so much response to the first two books. If you had taken the word black out of The Covenant with Black America in terms of the title, that book, by the way, goes on to be number one on the New York Times bestseller list. The point is, you don't become number one on the Times list with just black folk buying your book. So there are a whole lot of white folk who listened to me and watched me who were buying this book. And what I heard, Michelle, quickly was that if you take the word black out of the title, what you have is a progressive agenda from moving America forward. So there was no reason to cut people out of this third and final book, particularly as black people kept reminding me that Obama ain't the president of just black America. He's the president for all of us. So why not a progressive agenda that all of us can buy into, hold him accountable to, and move our nation forward?
Well, do you think that that means then you were wrong to be so critical of him for not coming to your State of Black America report? Does that suggest that perhaps your focus on exclusively the interests of concerns to African Americans is too narrow?
I think the folk were wrong for accusing me of being critical about him for not coming, because I didn't do that. I was asked one question by CNN, which was, what do you make of the fact that Senator Obama is not coming to your event? I said, I think it's a mistake. I think he ought to be here. This is the largest gathering of African-American thinkers and influencers every year. It's seen by millions of people around the world. I think it's a mistake he is not here.
But now that you've said that you feel you, as a public commentator, have a responsibility beyond the African-American community, doesn't he? Do you think he does, too?
Of course he does. Of course he does. But the points aren't mutually exclusive. Are you suggesting that he can't speak specifically to the issues of African-Americans?
I think the question is, do you think he has a special responsibility to the African-American community?
He said in his press conference the other night, in answer to a question about black unemployment asked by Andre Showell, I believe.
From BET. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. His answer was about black unemployment, that a rising tide lifts all boats. He's both right and wrong about that. To answer your question this way, he's right about the fact that a rising tide does lift all boats. But when the tide comes up, Michelle, all the boats are lifted, but you're in a yacht and I'm in a dinghy.
I would switch that. I would say you're in the yacht and I'm in the dinghy. But
I'm pumped. The point here is that it's about equality. It's about how we give everybody a chance to move forward. It'd be one thing in this country, Michelle, if everybody were getting rich and the richest were getting richer at a faster pace. That's not it. They're getting richer. The gap between the have-gots and the have-nots continues to grow. So it is about all of Americans, and that's what the book is about.
Well, I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Be happy to do it.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Tavis Smiley is author of the new book, Accountable, Making America as Good as Its Promise. He's also the host of the Tavis Smiley Show on PBS, and he was kind enough to join us from his old home, our Washington, D.C. studios. Tavis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle. Mm-hmm.